acceptable. So that's why all the kids need to be here. Yep. First is how to study your Bible. Second part will be Trinity. And the last one will be LGBT. Okay? So this is going to be wrapped up in 1 hour. Cool? No more question for this one. Okay, thank you, Pastor June. The time is yours.
Really, 1 hour?
Maybe a bit more. You want a bit more? Is it for people in the room? So you're almost. Oh, you can read it. So anyway, hi. There's no.
Okay, I'll speak to them.
Yes.
Okay,
I'll just try to.
Yeah. Do your best. Yeah.
I'll do my best.
All the kids need to be here, yeah? We want to learn about how to study your Bible. All the kids.
It's okay. No need to show that. But I just need my laptop, so it's okay. I just have to adjust everything. Okay, so we'll go to how to study the Bible. Okay, so is it okay for me to flash a few slides only? Okay, a few slides only for the how to study the Bible. Who among you here has a Bible, a physical Bible? Physical Bible. When I say physical Bible, the book, the literal book of the Bible. So how about electronic Bible? Okay, many of you, electronic Bible. Okay, how about you, the kids? Do you have your own Bible with you? Okay, good. Okay, that's good. So you have your own Bible with you. Now, you know what? Let me just show this. During the time, the Jewish, children, if the Jewish people would like to teach their children how to read the Torah simply refers to the Old Testament, the first five books in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So if they wanted their young children to learn the Torah, what they do is to use honey and just place that honey on top of the letter of the Torah and then teach their children. Then afterwards, what their children will do is to get a portion of the honey and taste it and or lick the honey along with the, Torah. Now, that is very literal for them because they do that, of course, because they wanted their children to remember the words of the Lord. Okay, that's the purpose of that. At the same time, they also even have a honey cupcake that there is written in the honey cupcake the words in Isaiah 50 verse 4 that says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught." So they place that in their honey cupcake. So, and they allow their children to eat that. And then they also have this boiled egg with a honey cupcake. And they give it also to their children. And in that boiled egg, they also inscribe these verses. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with the scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it." So they are very much literal in terms of teaching their children the Torah because they wanted their children to grow up holding and embracing the word of the Lord. Because in the scripture, they said, okay, there is an attempt to make learning enjoyable for the children. Okay, it says there, "A child who licks honey from a slate and who eats honey cake and a hard-boiled egg on the first day of class will immediately understand that the Torah is as sweet as honey." So that's their understanding and that's their belief. Because in the Bible, of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. In other words, all of us are commanded by the Lord to read the Bible. All of us are commanded by the Lord to study the Bible. So if many of us have studied, you know, in a four-year degree course, or probably have gone to school and studied different books, how much more the scripture? How much more the Bible? How much more a book that has, of course, which is the Word of God, that could really change our life, and at the same time change the course of our life here on earth. So my children, I have two boys, and what I did was to explain to my two boys what salvation is all about. At the age of 6 or 7 years old, I sat down with them and explained what heaven is, what hell is, what salvation is from the scripture. Whenever I discipline them, I use the Bible. I point to them that very passage that tells them about, you know, their attitude and their character. And one time I told them, one by my boys, I said, you know what you did was wrong. The Bible says that you have to obey your parents and you have to honor them. This is what the Bible says. Can you read that passage? And they will read the passage. And so when sometimes they tend to quarrel with each other, and I was said, you know, the Bible says it's a sin to hate your brother. So if you're angry with your brother, then you are, you know, hurting him. So I will get a passage and try get the Bible and try to let him read the passage. So that's what I do, because I want the Word of God to really be in their heart. Not just my opinion, but I want the Word of God to really sink in their heart. And one time, me and my wife had a passionate discussion. And when I say passionate discussion, you know what I mean by that. Okay? And my son got his Bible. I believe that he was only probably 7 years old or 8 years old during the time. And he got his Bible and said, Papa, the Bible says you have to love your wife. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, I know. I'm sorry for that. Papa, you have to go back to Mama and ask for forgiveness. What I did was, of course, to do that, you know, so that he will know that I'm following also the word of the Lord. The point is that if we teach our children the word of the Lord, and if they see us as parents live out the word of the Lord, it will be a very, very powerful thing for them. Because I also understand that there are studies that was made, or I would say survey that was made, that if a father and a mother will not talk about the faith inside their own home, if they have different faith and they will not talk about their faith, if they will not be vocal about their faith, if their children cannot see this faith in their lives, then something could happen in the lives of their children. First is that their children could grow up being a nominal attendee of the church, meaning they are just average attendee of a particular church, not involved, but attendee only. Second, that could possibly happen is that they could embrace another faith. In other words, they could embrace the faith of a Jehovah's Witness, the faith of a Mormon, the faith of any, you know, religious cults out there, or they could be a Muslim, because their faith is not being discussed inside their own household. Third, that could happen is the worst, is that they could be an atheist, because they can see their mom and dad living out their faith in them. That's why it's important for us parents to really live out our faith in the eyes of our children. Because if they can see that in our lives, then they will see that we are living like, you know, hypocrites in the eyes of the public. We have to also, you know, try to show that to our children. I remember one father who does this deliberately. Whenever he prays, he shows it to his two daughters. The reason why he need to do that, it's because he wants to show to his daughter that his dad or their dad is connecting himself with the Lord always. It's deliberate. It's intentional. And that's what we need to do, you know, with regards to our children. Whenever we study the word, that simply means that we are telling our children that we are, you know, we fear the Lord and we want our ways to be directed by the Lord. So we don't just want to be Christians on a Sunday, but we want them to see our lives changing from day to day and that our love for the word of the Lord is there. So That's why it's, again, a must, or it's, I would say, that's very, very important with regards to our to ourselves as parents, as Christian parents. My two sons, I always remind them that you are not reading the Bible, you are not praying, you are not attending church, you are not involved in the activities of the church. It's because your parents are Christians, Christian leaders. It's not because I'm a pastor of a church. It's not because both of us are leaders. But you are involved in the church. You are praying. You are reading the Bible. You are connecting yourself with the Lord. It's because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. You should not be pressured because we are leaders of the church. We want it to come from you because you understand that this is the right thing to do. You are followers of Jesus Christ. And so I'm releasing them from the pressure. That's why I would say that whenever I read the scripture, we try by do our best by the grace of the Lord to live out, you know, the things that we read from the scripture. Because as a parent, that is very, very important. So let me just skip, okay, from that. So can I just take off, okay, the slides? Because I only have less than an hour already to discuss everything. And this is a miracle if this happens. Because back in the Philippines, I discussed that for 1 hour, 2 hours, 2 hours. The Trinity Doctrine, I discussed for 3 hours. And the LGBT, I'll discuss, you know, for 3 hours as well. So, but here, it's a miracle because everything will be discussed in less than an hour. So, I believe that there's a God who can do this. Okay? So, okay, I'll remove that. Okay, please remain that that's, on the slide. Now, for us to develop, especially our love for the Word, is that you have to ask yourself, what is your motive in reading the Word? So I hope that we'll check our motive first. At the same time, after checking our motive, will you be committed to do the reading of the Bible? So what is your purpose? Why do you want to read the Bible? And are you just curious? If you're curious, it's okay, because that boils down from curiosity as well. If you are curious why, how did, let's say, David kill Goliath, or how did how was Jonah, swallowed by a big fish. And by the way, that's not a whale, but a big fish, okay? So if you're just curious, it's okay also. And if you are just looking for inaccuracies, or let's say you have a friend who is looking for inaccuracies and mistakes from the Bible, it's also okay, okay? So because I believe that if he does that, then he will find himself really being guided by the Lord to the point of receiving him as Lord and Savior. Because remember Lee Strobel. I don't know if you're familiar with the name. Lee Strobel, he also approached the Bible as a skeptic. And then what he wanted to do was to refute that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. So what he did was he told his wife, you know what, I will prove to your pastor that Jesus Christ did not really rose from the grave. And then I will do everything that I can, because he is an investigative journalist. So what he did was to do a lot of research in order for him to prove that Jesus Christ did not really rose from the grave. So he used the Bible. So after several months of research, after probably close to a year, he came with a manuscript. He came with a document. And the document was, the title of that is The Case for Christ. And it's really, it's now a book that proves that Jesus Christ really did rose from the grave. So he became a Christian afterwards. So Lee Strobel, being an atheist himself, became a Christian after doing his research from the scripture. So the same thing also even happened to Leon Morris. Leon Morris is also a judge, and he also did what Lee Strobel did. He said, I will prove to the world that, you know, Jesus Christ didn't rise from the grave. He studied the Bible. And after studying the Bible, he came up with his conclusion. And he was also even, he authored a book. The title of the book is Who Moved the Stone? Proving that Jesus Christ is truly, he truly rose from the grave, and everything is a fact from the scripture. So that's why if you have atheist friends, just tell them, you know, I want you to disprove, you know, use the Bible if you want, okay? Because after all, at the end of the day, they will become believers when the time comes. Just encourage them, okay? So again, there are many reasons behind why you want to study the Bible. So, but our hope is that we will be like the deer. The Bible says in Psalm 42, verse 1, As the deer pants for the streams of water, so pants my soul for you, O God. So that's our goal. And I understand that. Is it okay for me to flash already the slides? Okay, I'll just have a quick. Thank you so much. So consider why the Lord wants to speak to you and what He has to say. So you have to consider why what the Lord wants to speak to you on that very time, and then and what He has to say. Now consider the following approaches we have here. You may join this is in your case, it's a life group. Okay, join a life group, because in our church we call it victory group, but in this case in your church you call it life group, to help jumpstart your own personal study of the Bible. And then you may also study the Bible alone to receive insights and illumination. So you have you just read the scripture and choose the right time and place, in the morning before your work starts. I don't know what time is that. Or in the morning after your kids, you know, go to school. So you can also read the Bible so that there will be no distraction as well. So again, you have to choose the right time and place. And in the evening before you rest and sleep. So before you even retire to sleep, then you can also even read the scripture. Or in the midnight when everyone is already sleeping. So I hope that you will not just, you know, just browse the social media and do Facebooks. But you have to, of course, go back and read the scripture. And speaking of right time and place, it's also good if you are inside your own, let's say, restroom, or if you have your own, let's say, we call it bathroom in our case. So you call it bathroom as well here. Okay, so sometimes that's the most sacred place in the whole world. You know, you open your Bible inside your own bathroom because it's really a solemn place, a place that's really a peaceful place wherein there are no distractions, and then you can just worship the Lord there and read the Bible inside your own bathroom. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, is any business appointment more important than an appointment with God? Of course not. Pick a time and keep it. So again, the challenge is that you have to do something about it in order for you to be able to read the Bible. Because if you will not read your Bible, then it's impossible for us to really grow spiritually. Do not just go to a church and just listen to the message. I mean, Pastor Agus, of course, can help us or can help you in terms of how you can grow in the Lord. But it's your job to also grow in the Lord. Have you seen a baby, an adult, still being fed with the milk? Okay? All adults are now eating, of course, meat. But however, if you see an adult being fed with the milk, a bottled milk, that's really absurd already. So, all of us needs to grow in our faith in the Lord. So there is a time that we are being fed by the scripture, but I hope that all of us will also do our best to even read the scripture alone. So set a goal. Okay, the goal is that you can even read the scripture by setting a goal. You can read it in a one-year plan. So the one-year plan is that I go to the back to the Bible website, and I choose the one-year plan. And so click the Bible study there, and then see all one-year plan. And then there's a lot of plan here. It could be chronological, historical. It could be Old and New Testament together. You can also read from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. And it could be blended. Like, for example, you know, it could blend the Old Testament to the New Testament. So there are a lot of ways to go in reading the Bible so that you will not get bored in reading. Sometimes people tend to use the Bible to, you know, sleep, because it becomes a sleeping pill for many people sometimes. And there's no, don't you worry, because it's not a sin, okay, if you sleep while reading the Bible, because sleep is a gift from the Lord. So, and then you continue on the next day if you like. So don't you worry, because the Lord does not condemn. So speaking of that, tell someone else what you have learned to stir up excitement in your daily reading. Once you read the scripture, then tell somebody about what you've read, so that at least you can apply it in your life as well. So determine the right books in studying the Bible. Second, so after determining the time, determine the right books in studying the Bible. So I understand that the young people here, of course, cannot read dictionary, Bible dictionary, and Bible commentaries. But for the adults, you can apply that if you like. So you need a Bible version that you can understand. So I don't know, what version are you using here in this church, Pastor Agus?
Is
NIV.
Yes.
Yes, the So you're giving them the free hand, or are you, do you have? Because in our case, in Victory, we call it ESV, Essential Sub Victory. That means essential in Victory. So that's just a joke, okay? But the point is that for us to be one page, but they give us the freedom as well to, of course, read the different versions if you like. So that at least somehow, when the pastor reads something, then you can also follow. But if you want to read other version, it's also up to you, as long as you understand, okay? So speak about that, okay? So we have here, you will notice that from the literal to the thought for thought. So if you want a more literal version, then you go to the Young's Literal Version, the NASB, New American Standard Bible, the Amplified, ESV, RSV, King James Version is a literal version. And sometimes, you know, it's so much literal that you don't understand sometimes the words like thee, thou, ye. And I mean, nobody prays here, you know, by saying thou, O Lord, okay, or ye are, no, I mean, that's of course a Queen Elizabeth language already. So if you want to understand it first, if you want to study the Bible, start from the literal, and then if you don't understand, then go to the dynamic. After going to the dynamic, then you go to the thought for thought or paraphrase. If you still don't understand the paraphrase, then you go to Pastor Agus and ask Pastor Agus, okay? So Pastor Agus knows everything, okay? Don't you worry about that. So there is your pastor. And then there's different types of the Bible that we have. So there's the different types of the Bible that we have. And then, we have the Roman Catholic version there are the New American Bible, the New Jerusalem Bible, and the Jerusalem Bible. So those are the Bibles of the Roman Catholic. So we don't use the Roman Catholic Bible because there are Bibles that have additional books. Okay, so they added at least 12 to 14 books in our Bible. How many books do we have in the Bible? 66 books. So 66 plus 12 to 14 books, that's the additional of the Roman Catholic. That's why we don't use the Roman Catholic Bible. So you may get a Bible dictionary if you like. Then Bible dictionary defines and describes everything that are found only in the Bible. So there's like for example, if you want to know what Jerusalem means or where is, let's say, Palestine, then the Bible dictionary will also even help you to do that. Pastor Agus brought me to Corong, and there's a lot of books in, you know, that Corong bookstore. If only I can bring all the books back in the Philippines. I mean, you know. Wow. So in the book, let me just skip that already, okay? So because this will not, of course, these are the types of the Bible dictionaries that you can have, especially if you are into, of course, reading and understanding. If you want to understand more about the people in the Bible, the places in the Bible, archaeology in the Bible, then this is one of the books that you can also even read and buy. So Dictionary of the Bible. And then the Zondervan Illustrated Bible. I saw this in the Corong, okay, by the way, bookstore. So, a Bible. You also need to have a Bible, okay? So, of course, that's also important. Do the proper Bible study habits. So, the proper Bible study habits. Apply what you have learned. So, if you will not apply what you have learned, it's nothing. We will be like hypocrites only if we will not apply what we have learned from the Scripture. So, let me just skip that. I think... Okay, so let me end there and just entertain some questions. Do you have questions so far about reading the Bible? Okay, before I understand that we still have two topics to discuss. Any questions so far about reading the Bible? You go ahead and just raise up your hand. Any questions so far? How do you read your Bible and, any for that matter? Oh, wow, every one of us are reading our Bible. That's good, okay? So, yes.
My son wants to ask.
My son wants to ask why you can't read the Catholic version of the Bible.
The Catholic version of the Bible, I mentioned that there are 12 to 14 books that were added in the Bible that we have. The reason is that the 12 to 14 books that were added by the Roman Catholic did not meet the standard of the early church fathers. We have to again understand that there is a standard that was given in order for them to know if it was written by the apostles. One of the standard is like, is the writer living during the time of Jesus Christ, or was he present during the time of the disciples? So, of course, that's one of the standard. Another thing is that does this book not contradict the Old Testament? So that's also one standard. Another is that is this really the one of the disciples of Jesus Christ? So again, those kinds of standards must be met in order for them to be able to include a particular book in the New Testament. Or let's say in the Old Testament, in the case of the Old Testament, since we're talking about the 12 to 14 books, the Jewish people already closed the canon or closed the door for them to add some more books, which is the 12 to 14 books included by the Roman Catholic. Because in the 12 to 14 books, they did not meet the standard as well in the Old Testament. And this is where the doctrine of the purgatory came into the picture. Because in the 12 to 14 books, one of the books is called Maccabees. And in the book of Maccabees, they are teaching that a person can still go to heaven even though he died already. So that's why the Roman Catholic were able to inject purgatory in their doctrine or doctrinal system because of the 12 to 14 books. And specifically, it's the book of Maccabees. So that's why we could not, that will of course contradict the whole doctrine of the scripture if you say that there's a purgatory. So, and it's the 12 to 14 books are good to read as a reference. It's good to read as historical books, but it's not good to read as inspired books because they are not inspired. So they are just good references. That's why if you notice that if we have Bibles that were printed from an evangelical, let's say, publication, and they included the 12 to 14 books, there's always a disclaimer at the back that says these books are only meant for references, but not for meditation, because they are not inspired. So there's also always a disclaimer. So, but however, for the Roman Catholic, what they did was to inject, you know, the books. It is as if like they are actually part of the whole Old Testament books. So, but of course, for us Christians, we don't agree with that. Okay, so that's why it's not part of our 37 or 39 books, rather, of the Old Testament. Any more questions? If none, may I move on to the next part? Okay, so let me move on to my next part. Okay, and I'll be talking about the Trinity. Okay, so let me show you. Okay, a slide. So, we're going to talk about our triune God, our Trinitarian evidence in the Bible. Now, first and foremost is that let me ask you a question first. Okay? So, can you please raise up your hand? Raise up your hand up high, all of us. Okay? High, okay? Good. Put on your hand. Now, I want everyone to raise up their hands high, except for the pastors of this church. How many pastors do we have in this church? Two? How many pastors? Three or four? Pastor Agus, how many? Okay, three, okay. So, Pastor Agus and who else? Pastor Jimmy, okay? Okay, so other than Pastor Agus, Pastor Jimmy, and then the third one is, okay, Ruth, is she here? Ah, there, okay. Whoa, I'm sorry, I did not notice you. So, now, except for them, okay, everybody will raise their hands, okay? Okay, everybody, and if you raise your hand, I want you to close your eyes and then raise your hand. Okay? But when you raise, the reason for that is that so that you will not copy the people around you. Okay? So that because, you know, there are many people who are raising their hand, I also raise my hand. Don't do that. But be sure that this is the right answer for you and that you understand the question. Okay? So, and your answer should be in letters only. If you believe that your answer is letter A, then raise up your hand. And please don't answer all the rest of the letters. Okay, just one. Choose one. Okay, choose one. There's A, B, and C. Choose letter A, letter B, or letter C only. Okay? So, first question. And don't discuss right now. Okay, don't discuss. Just observe, if you believe Jesus was created by his Father, then you answer letter A. Okay, don't raise up your hand yet. Try to process that. Okay, if you believe Jesus was created by his Father, then you answer letter A. If you believe Jesus revealed himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then you choose letter B. Okay? You choose letter B. And letter C. If you believe Jesus revealed only as the Son, then you choose letter C. Okay? So, do you have an answer already? Okay, no, don't raise up your hand yet. If you have an answer already, can you please nod? Okay, good. Don't copy, don't pick, and say, okay, close. I want you to close your eyes, bow down your head, close your eyes so that no person will copy one another. Okay, close your eyes, bow down, okay? Bow down your head, close your eyes. I'll wait for you. Okay, bow your head, close your eyes. Okay, I'll wait for her. Okay, close your eyes. Now, close your eyes. Okay, close your eyes. Close your eyes also. Okay. Good. Everyone is closing your eyes. Now, if your answer is letter A, don't open your eyes yet. If your answer is letter A, can you please raise up your hand? Letter A. Letter A. Letter A. Okay. Put down your hands. Don't open your eyes yet. Letter B. Okay. Put down your hands. Letter C. Okay. Put down your hands. Now, let me open your eyes now. Okay. We'll try to explain this so that we will be one page in terms of believing who Jesus Christ is. Because if we will not be in one page, we'll be passing on a different doctrine. Okay, so we'll be explaining this in a few moments. Now, the answer there is none other than letter C. So letter C, okay? So don't you worry. Tell to that person, don't be condemned. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Okay? So, because many people are confused with regards to Jesus, they thought Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So, anyway, later on we'll explain that. Now, don't you worry, you can still save yourself. Okay? There's a chance for you to, again, have the correct answer. Don't you worry. Okay, now, close your eyes. No, don't close your eyes yet. Okay, let me just give you this. If you believe the Holy Spirit is a force created by God to teach, guide, and lead believers, then you answer letter A. Okay, letter B. If you believe the Holy Spirit is the divine person and God the Creator, if you believe the Holy Spirit is the divine person and God the Creator, then you answer letter B. And if you believe the Holy Spirit is an impersonal power sent by God to empower believers, then you answer letter C. Okay? Don't be confused. Okay, so if you already have that answer, can you please nod? Not yet. Okay. If you believe the Holy Spirit is a force created by God to teach, guide, and lead believers, then A. If you believe the Holy Spirit is the divine person and God, the Creator, then you answer letter B. It's letter C. If you believe the Holy Spirit is an impersonal power sent by God to empower believers, then you answer letter C. Close your eyes. Close your eyes, every one of you. Okay, close your eyes. Okay, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay, close your eyes, please. Okay, let's wait for her. Okay, close your eyes now. Close your eyes. Okay, don't peek. Okay, if your answer is, close your eyes. Well, not a person. Okay, close your eyes now. Close your eyes, all of you. Okay, if your answer is letter A, raise up that hand. Letter A. Okay, letter put down. Letter B. Okay, put down your hand. Letter C. Okay, put down your hand. Okay, open your eyes. Now, again, let's be one page. Okay, in believing who the Holy Spirit is. Okay, because if not, then we'll be passing on something that is not right. The answer is none other than letter B. Okay? Letter B. Again, tell to that person beside you, no condemnation. I understand that probably you did not attend the purple book of Pastor Agus. Okay? That's why you have to attend. Okay? So that you will learn. You have to attend. And tell him, you know, Pastor Agus, this time I will attend. every week so that I will learn. It's important. Why? Because we are leaders of the church. We are the ones whom God will use to, of course, help the people in their foundation. And at the same time, so that we could introduce Christ to them. So we are not modalists. Modalism is a heresy during the time. The modalist people believe that Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is like me saying, I'm a father to my two boys, I'm a husband to my wife, and I'm a pastor in the church. How many persons are there? One. That is not Trinity. That is oneness. Okay? That's oneness. We call oneness because I'm a one person playing in three different roles, three different modes, or three different manifestations. So that's wrong. That's heresy. That's unbiblical. That's not right. Many people, I would say, people who are in the church are non-Trinitarians, but not anti-Trinitarians. There's a difference between non-Trinitarians and anti-Trinitarians. The anti-Trinitarians are those Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, oneness people. They are anti-Trinitarians. Even the Muslims are anti-Trinitarians. But the non-Trinitarians are present in the church. They say that they believe in the Trinity, but when they explain the Trinity, they sound like oneness. Okay, so in other words, they are just uneducated. So we are now educating you that we are that we are not oneness, we are Trinitarian. Okay, so don't you worry, because after this, I believe that you will be informed. And when you have the chance to raise up your hand once more, you will surely be Trinitarian, genuine Trinitarians, okay? So this is wrong, this is unbiblical. Another is tritheism. They believe in three gods. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and there are three separate gods. That is, of course, unbiblical. We don't have three gods. How many gods do we have? One God. Okay, one God. What else? Arianism. Arianism believe that the Father is greater God, and then the Son is a lesser God, and the Holy Spirit is a lesser God. Okay, so there's the greater God, and then the great God. And then a greater God. Okay, so less greater God. So at least it's like a ladder, a hierarchy. We don't believe that. That's the belief of the Jehovah's Witness. They believe that. Subordination is unbiblical. Now, what is a Trinity? Okay, but first let me just, this is for the young people that we have here, this is quite, I would say, new to you. But I hope that you will just get some of the words, okay, because I'll be using some Hebrew words for the adults, okay, to understand. But for the young people, please bear with me as I explain this. The Bible says that there is a word God, gods, or God, okay? The words God, God, or gods is, of course, Elohim. So it's God, God, or gods, that's the word Elohim. So Elohim is plural. Okay, Elohim is a Hebrew word. Okay, so Elohim is a Hebrew word. Like, for example, let me give you an example. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word God there is Elohim. So it's plural. But you will be surprised because the word plural, the translators did not use the word gods. But they use the word God. Why? Because the word created is in the singular. In the singular. They use it in the singular. Another is, Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. So the word gods there is Elohim, referring to the false gods. It's also the same word Elohim. Okay, so because Elohim simply means plural in majesty. They thought that, you know, the gods are real gods, but they are not. They are, of course, false gods. Found in Genesis 31:19. Another is, whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone. The word God there is Elohim as well. So you will notice that there's the real God and there are the false gods. Both are termed Elohim. But who is the real Elohim? Of course, none other than Yahweh himself, who is the real God. Exodus 20:20. Moses was also called like God. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. In other words, it's like saying that you will be like the true God. But he is not a real God, but like God. Like, for example, what if, for example, you found, what's your name?
Joven. Huh? Joven.
Joven. Okay. Like, for example, Joven, for example, he had his lunch with him. He had not eaten, let's say, a dinner, for example. He had this dinner box with him, and that he did not ate his breakfast and lunch, and he brought with him his dinner pack. And then afterwards, when he went out of this church, he saw, let's say, a young child who has not eaten for many days. And then that young child said, "Can you please give me your dinner pack?" And then the Jovan was thinking, "But I have not eaten my breakfast and lunch. Why will I give it?" But anyway, and since the Lord touched his heart, and he gave his dinner pack to that young child. Now all of us are seeing what is happening. All of us are witness of what's happening. So in our mind, what are we thinking? We're thinking that Jovan is like God in the way that he responded, of course, by giving that dinner pack to that young child who has not eaten for days. Who is like God in that in what manner? Like God in loving the Lord. I mean loving the child. Like God in being merciful. Like God in what? What else? Compassionate. Okay, so he's like God in that area. So that's why we could say that he is showing to us the attribute of God. The same thing also with Moses. He's also showing the attribute of God in the sense of authority. So that's authority. Thank you. So he's like God in that area. But he is not a real God. He is, of course, we could say that he's a false God in that way, but he's just reflecting the attribute of God. There's only one real God, and who's that? None other than Yahweh himself. Another is, aside from God, gods, or God, and then that's Elohim, plural, we have the word Lord, lords, or Lord. So it is, of course, the word Adonai. The word Adonai is in the plural as well. So we can see that in 1 Samuel. But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord." That simply refers to master. So that's Adonai. Now, it simply means, you know, ruler or sovereign. So therefore, during the time, they have their own master. They call them Lord. In Judges 16:8, then the lords, okay, of the Philistines simply means master as well. Can we refer to God as our master? Yes, he's our master because he is the one who rules over us. He's the real master. He's the real Lord. Psalm 114 verse 7 says, "Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord," that is Adonai, the Lord, the true Lord, or the Master. Okay? So that's why we refer to God as Elohim, the real God, and the real Adonai, or the real Lord. Now, how about, okay, we have Elohim, God, gods, or God. We have Adonai, Lord, lords, or Lord. And we also have Yahweh, okay? Which is, of course, singular, Lord or God. When the Bible says Lord or God, that is in the capital letter, that simply refers to Yahweh. Okay? So you can find that in the Old Testament. You can find that in the book of Genesis. Then God, let me just explain this already. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." The word God there is Elohim, plural. And then we can see that in that God, there are us. Us is in the plural as well. You will notice that God represents him as, you know, many, but yet he's one. In what way? He is many in the sense that there are three persons, but they are one in the sense of they are united in their nature. And later on we will understand. I'm just showing you some passage. Then the Lord God, meaning Yahweh Elohim, he's the real Yahweh, he's the real Elohim, said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us," plural, "knowing good and evil." Now let me jump off to another verse. Another passage, Genesis 11:7 says, "Come, let us go down," us again, meaning it represents God, the plurality of God. God is three persons, but in yet one and united in nature. God said, "Come, let us go down." Another in Isaiah 6:8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" The word us again is there. And again, it talks about his plurality as person. And then, but however, we worship how many gods? One God. Judges 6:16. You will notice in the book of Judges, it says there, "And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." How many persons are there in that one man? Notice. "I will smite the Midianites as one man." How many persons are there in that one man? Any. When you say smite, that means kill or destroy. "I will destroy the Midianites as one man." How many persons are there in that word Midianites? many persons. But however, it was described as one man. Is it possible for many persons to be one? Yes, it's possible. Do you believe that Adam can be called, do you believe that Eve can be called Adam? Is Adam a male or a female? Male. Is Eve a male or a female? Now, can I say Adam, or can I say Eve is Adam? Okay. If I may go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, and then if I may just type it here. Genesis 5, verse 2. Or let me start off with one. It says there, I don't know if you can read it, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Let me just read from the King James, sorry. From the King James. It will be good if we read from the King James. It says here from the King James. Young's, I think it's Young's Literal Interpretation. I think I have a King James here. Oh, yeah. So let me read from the King James. It says here, this is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female, created he them and blessed them and called their name what? Adam. So can we call Eve as Adam? Based on that passage? Yes. Because the word Adam simply means man or mankind or humankind. So therefore, can we call ourselves Adam even though there are females in this room? Yes. Because Adam simply means man. So remember, when we say human, that simply refers to man, and man simply means human being. We don't say women being. We say human being or mankind, not womankind. So therefore, in that sense, we could say that Adam has two definitions. Adam can be a name of a person, and Adam can refer to the nature of the whole people in this planet, whether you are a male or a female. So therefore, the word Yahweh is very important also for us to understand. Now, let me go back to my slide and then finish this before you get confused. Okay? So, one man, the word one there simply is ekad. Ekad is plural, composite in unity. Can we say we are one man? Yes. So therefore, we are united. Okay, and at the same time, we are one in our nature. That's why we say that we are one man. Now, in Genesis 2:24, the word one there is ekad as well. Who are husband and wife in this room? Okay, you were, of course, married and officiated, and the pastor said that you are now one flesh. When you say one flesh, the one there doesn't mean that you became one body with two heads. No. It means the two persons became one in the area of unity, in the area of everything in your life. Okay, that's one. Now, what will happen, if you go back to the time of Adam and Eve, if Adam and Eve did not sin, and if the Lord said that they will become one flesh, what if, for example, we have not sinned? For example, we have not sinned. And I'm saying to my two boys, you need to sleep by 8 p.m. because it's already late. And then, because you know, you still have school tomorrow. What if my boys will say, but Mama said we can sleep by 9. But what if I said, you know what, whatever that I say, Mama also says that. Even though I say the word I want you to sleep by 9, by 8, because of course Mama reflects also that word, even though I say the word I. Even though I won't say the word we, but only I, that reflects of course my wife's decision as well. So in other words, I is a singular or plural? No, I is a singular or plural? Singular, okay, singular. When did I become a plural? I is a singular. I is a singular, but however, when I say the word I, it does not refer to me as a person. It refers to our what? Unity. Unity as two persons. So whenever I say the word I, it refers to our unity. I want you to sleep by 8 p.m. I want you to eat, okay, your breakfast. I want you to, study your lesson. That reflects not just me, but of course my wife as well. But the reality of the fact is that we are not always in unity. I mean, husband and wife, you are not always in unity, right? There are times, or many times, we are in conflict with one another in terms of decision making. But for God, if you want to check, I mean, who among us or in all over the world who is united, and that's none other than the three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The reason why they can say the word, I am the Lord, there is no other gods before us. And the word I there does not mean that they are one person. It speaks of their what? Unity as the three person. So it doesn't mean that they are one person. There are several thousands of singular pronouns that reflects the God of Israel. It refers to them as in unity, not of course the word persons. Genesis 2:24. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And the one there is none other than Echad. Echad is composite in unity, not absolute unity. You know what absolute unity means? Absolute unity means literal one. Composite unity refers to you are united. Okay? You are united in that particular nature. That's composite in unity, Echad. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Name simply means, of course, the name there is singular, but how many persons? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons. Authority of the three persons. Who raised up the body of Jesus from the grave? Any hunch or any answer? Who raised the body of Jesus from the grave? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? Who raised? And who is that God? Who? The Father. Who else? Is it the Father? Do you agree? Okay. How about the Son? No. How about the Holy Spirit? No. Okay. Acts 2:24 says, the Father, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. But also the Son raised himself from the dead. It says there in John 2:19, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Who raised his body from the dead? The Son also. The Holy Spirit. How about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit in Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. So therefore, you can see now the Father raised the body of Jesus. Jesus raised his own body. And the Holy Spirit also raised the body of Jesus. The three persons are in unity in raising the body of Jesus. Next question. Who lives within you? Who's living in you? Who's living in you? Is it the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit?
God.
God, okay. Okay. Who's living in you? Who's living in you? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, okay? Because that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So, let's see the Bible. Okay, the Bible says in John 14:23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So the Father and the Son is in us. Okay, the Father and Son. And also the Holy Spirit is in us as well. Because in 1 Corinthians 6:19 it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is living in us. It's not just Jesus. It's not just the Holy Spirit. But it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The next question, to whom do we fellowship? Of course, I believe that your answer right now is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Because of the obvious reasons, okay? 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You can talk to the Father, you can talk to the Son, and you can even talk to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So you can talk to the Holy Spirit if you like to. So again, and the reason why sometimes we become oneness, we become modelless, it's because whenever we pray sometimes, it's so fast that when we pray, Lord God, Father, thank you, Lord Father, for dying the cross for our sins. Father, thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we empower you. So, I mean, all the three persons right now, sometimes the people are now confused. Who are you? You're talking to the Father and afterwards the Son. I mean, to whom are you talking? The Father is now being crucified on the cross? I mean, and I heard that live when somebody was ministering and said, Father, thank you for dying for us on the cross. And this person in front of me said, who really died, the Father or the Son? I mean, it brought confusion already to the congregation. That's why we have to be careful how we pray, especially in front, because people are listening to us.
It's okay if you are alone praying. And I understand that God will even, you know, tell to you that, you know, I understand, my daughter, that you are just confused probably, but, you know, but I know that you're talking to me, okay? But however, if we pray in front and stand here up on stage, we have to be theologically correct in our prayers. Because if not, then we'll be spreading confusion in the minds of the people. But I'm not saying that you be paranoid whenever you pray. Okay? Don't be paranoid and say, Father, thank you. Is that right, Lord? Father, thank you, Lord. Don't do that. But it just goes when you know the scripture. Don't be afraid, okay? If you know your pastors are there listening to you. Just let it flow. Because if you know your scripture, then you know, of course, how to relate with the three persons in the Godhead. So that's why, again, speaking of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, okay, you can fellowship. So to summarize, Father, 1 Peter 1:3, the Son, Jesus Christ, this is how I explain this. Okay, I use the triangle illustration. And in the Holy Spirit, and they are the one Lord, one Yahweh, one God. The Father is not Jesus Christ the Son. Jesus Christ the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. I am not my wife. My wife is not me, but we are one. Okay? So we are distinct persons. I'm greater in the sense of course, not because I'm much more human than her, because we have a role. The role of the wife is, of course, to submit to the husband. But I hope that's a reality always, okay? Because sometimes, you know, I don't want to go to that joke anymore. So the point, okay, so the reason why Jesus Christ said, the Father is greater than I, because he's human. And he has to follow the Father. But of course, in terms of nature, as divine nature, they are equal with one another. So we have one God, Yahweh, and we have three distinct divine persons. Okay? So three distinct divine persons. The one God that we worship is three. So let me ask our worship leader, can you give us a worship that says God, okay? Or referring to God that we worship. One stanza or phrase that says, you know, our worship is towards God. Any song that, you know, refers to God as the one we worship.
I have something, but I forgot how it starts.
Okay, Lord, I give you my heart. Referring, of course, to the Lord God alone. Okay, how about Jesus? Do you have a worship that, you know, specifically worships Jesus?
Build my life.
Okay.
Jesus, the only one who could ever say.
Okay, so you're referring now to Jesus. How about the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Okay, that's very easy, okay? So that's why whenever you mention about the word God, you're referring to the triune God. But there are times wherein you refer to the Son, you refer to the Holy Spirit. So again, don't be confused whenever you worship. So it's not saying always literally saying that when you refer to God, he's Jesus. But you are referring to the triune God that we worship. So Jude 1:20-21, it's already 5 p.m. So again, you can see that, okay, in the in many texts in the scripture. Jude 1:20-21, we have Hebrews 9:14, it mentions about Christ, Spirit, and God. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, we have God, Christ, and the Spirit. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. We have Romans 15:30. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and God at the same time mentioned in that one particular passage. We have 1 Thessalonians 5:18-19. We have God, referring to the Father, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, okay, in that one particular passage. We have also Titus 3:4-6. It mentions about God, of course, our Savior, the Father, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ in verse 6. So you can see that the Trinity is there in those passages. Dr. Walter Martin said, all we ask you to understand is that Trinitarian theology was not derived from pagan sources. It was derived from biblical passages where honest godly men said, hey, 2 Peter says there is a person called the Father and is God. And Acts chapter 5 says there is a person called the Spirit and is God. And John 1 says there is a person called the Word and is God. So you've got three persons. And Deuteronomy 6 says, there is only one God. Logical conclusion. The three persons somehow are the one God. That's how Trinitarian theology started, not with pagans. So we believe in the one God of the scripture. We don't believe in a pagan God. Okay? So that ends my lecture. So I understand it's already past five. I'm sorry if I, you know, but I can still speak a 5 minute probably for the LGBT. So I will entertain one or two questions. Do you have? Yes. Okay. I know. There's no mother. The reason why the Bible has to use the word father and son, because what the Lord is doing to us, it's like baby talking us. He baby talks us in every language that he is saying in the scripture. For example, when the Lord says, I will uphold you with my righteous right arm or right hand, it doesn't mean that the Lord has an arm and a hand so that you can see, okay, Lord, where is your right hand right now that I want to see? Or his eyes is moving to and fro. It doesn't refer to a literal eye. But you have to understand the context of the passage. It simply means that he is there to protect us. He's there to watch us. He's there to encourage us. Those are the case. In Psalm 91 or 92, it says, if you want to be literal on this passage, this is how it looks like. In Psalm 91 or 92, it says, I will hide you under the shadow of my wings. Now, don't think that God is a chicken. Just because, you know, it says, I will hide you under the shadow of my wings. It simply refers, of course, to him being the protector of his children. So therefore, when the word father is mentioned or son is mentioned, it speaks of our relationship with him. Okay, so therefore, it doesn't mean that he has a wife or the son has a mother. It speaks of a relationship because God is baby talking us. If you want to talk to your baby, okay, so what do you do when you want to talk to your baby? You, of course, act like a baby as well. You use baby talk. But the baby will not, of course, be the one to speak in an academic word and say, Mom, what are you doing? I mean, the baby will not do that. But you will go down to his level or her level and just, you know, do a lot of things in order to connect with your baby. So again, that's what the Lord did to us. He used our very language in order to connect with us. Because if he will not do that, then it's impossible for us to understand him. Okay? So that's. I hope that will help you. Any more? One more? None? Okay, sorry. Okay, so are we moving on before we have a... Okay, this is the last. Okay, so we'll go now to our LGBT thing. Okay, so I can now tell, you know, our our leaders that, you know, there's a church in Australia, and you won't believe it, in Melbourne. I give them a lecture on three topics, and they're so intellectual that they were able to really get it, okay? So, and they have no questions. Okay, so let me just engage in the present culture. Now, the Church of Christ bears a track record being a counterculture, meaning the whole church, I mean. The Church of Christ bears a track record of being a counterculture community that submits to a moral code entirely different from that of the world it inhabits. In other words, we counter culture. We don't submit to the culture. Yes, we abide with the laws of the land, but we don't allow the culture to eat us up because we will still be distinct. We are a light and we are a salt in this world. And there should be a distinction between believers and unbelievers. Ecumenism is one, and the problem with ecumenism is that they try to blur, you know, the belief. They try to worship along with all the unbelievers in terms of animists and the Muslims, and they don't know already whom the God that they are worshiping. The word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ said that very clearly. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Buddhists don't believe this. The Muslims don't believe it. The Hindus don't believe this. In other words, all religions don't believe this. But Jesus Christ is exclusive. He is the one who... of course, says that he is exclusive in terms of salvation. No one can be saved unless that person acknowledges him as Lord and Savior. You can see the world doing a lot of things. I mean, you know, stuff that we don't do as believers. This is also a counterculture. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. That's found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2-5. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Meaning that you don't, of course, try to... you have to be distinct from these people. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus Christ said that very clearly. I hope that we, as a Christian, the people can still see us as believers following, of course, his examples. People also tend to even go with the culture in terms of this kind of things. They try to even make abortion legal. Now, what does the scripture says? The scripture is clear in Psalm 113, 13 to 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Now, this young, of course, we believe that you are created by the Lord. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. You are so special in the eyes of the Lord that God has a plan and a purpose in your life. And that's why every children that we have, they are a gift from the Lord. Whether you think that, you know, it was not planned, it is still a gift from the Lord. Every children is a reward from the Lord. So that's why we go against, of course, the culture in terms of understanding these things. Feminism is also one thing that is also, going against what the scripture says, because they don't see the role of the wife, the role of the women in the society. I understand that, you know, this is not to degrade women, but we have women and men has a role to play. The Bible is still clear in this, 1 Corinthians 11:3. But what I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. The wife is never the head, the husband is the head. And that's what the scripture is telling us. There should be no two heads, because once there are two heads in the house, that's a monster already. So we have to have one head only, of course, and that's the husband. No spanking also is the thing. I understand that here in this country, you know, we are not allowed, of course, by the rule. We are not allowed, of course, by the government to do that. But the scripture is clear on that as well. I'm not trying to force something on you. I'm just telling you what the scripture is saying. But I'm not, because however, the disadvantage of this is that parents tend to be abusive in terms of how to discipline their children. Okay, so that's why the law introduced this kind of thing that, you know, you are not allowed to spank your children. But the Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, it says, whoever spares the rod, he is his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Again, in our country, we don't have any law like this, that you are not allowed. But of course, you have to observe, of course, your law in the land. But what I'm saying is that I'm trying to inform you only that this is what the scripture says. And the law, of course, I mean, people does not understand, okay, why we are doing these things. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That's what the scripture is saying. Discipline is difficult, it's hard, but of course, once we understand discipline, then it will benefit us. Well, a lot of things are happening in our world. There are, killings, for example. There are false messiahs or false christs. There are idols or images that are around the world. Unfortunate killings. Famines are also happening. Evolution, the culture of, you know, creation, they think that, you know, you came from monkey. And then prostitution as well. Fortune tellings or tarot cards. ISIS are, of course, everywhere. And then murders. And then we have atheism. So around the world, the world is actually decaying other words. What we are salt and light. And we want to preserve, of course, this world that we have. And unless, if you are in that particular company, you are preserving that company. If you are in that particular, city, then you are part of those who will preserve the city. I mean, this church will be used by the Lord to preserve the city. Even though this church, the city is going into decay, we believe that God will use every believer to preserve this society. And that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Decay brings, of course, groaning. And so human sexuality, the same thing as well, it is also being, of course, countered as well. They have their own definition already of what sexuality is. God created human as male and female. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, LGBT is doing their own stuff. You know what? Why this is happening? Because they wanted to be recognized. They wanted to be acknowledged. We have nothing against, of course, them as a human person. We love the people. We love the people. We love those who are in the LGBT movement. But what we are against is that the practice that they are doing, in terms, of course, of, because we understand that it's a sin for male, you know, to be married with male and female to be married with female. That is still a sin. And we have to draw the line between what is evil and what is good. between what is truth and what is error, between what is holy and pleasing in the eyes of the Lord and what is unholy and wickedness in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is not something that we came up with our own, but we believe that this is coming from the word of the Lord. What is LGBTQI? Okay, it's almost like an ABCDEFGHIJKLMNOP. So, LGBTQI, this is an initial for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, intersex, queer, and questioning. In other words, God created us, of course, not as male to male and female to female, but God created us as male to female. Okay? So, God did not create us as, by the way, the lesbian, it simply means that, you know, a female is attracted to a female. That's for the lesbian. For the gay before means happy. During the time of Queen Elizabeth, okay, but gay now. If you say that I'm gay, that simply means, of course, oh, really, you're gay, okay? So, gay simply means man attracted to a man. You are not to be attracted to a man. You should be attracted, of course, to a woman. But however, if you are already a husband, don't be attracted with other female. You already have a wife, okay? Be contented with your wife, okay? So that's why. Again, for the gay, that is, of course, not right in the eyes of the scripture. Bisexual means, you know, both male and female are okay for them. Transgender or transsexual, meaning that they have their themselves cut off their, you know, some parts of the body in order for them to look like a female. Okay, so that's what they did to their body. Intersex is, it's they're open, of course. Intersex simply is they are born with two reproductive systems. Okay, so those are the intersex, and they allow the children to sometimes decide for themselves whether they are a boy or a girl. And again, this in our country, they are now trying to put up a rule in our country that you cannot decide for your child whether he's a boy or a girl. That at the age of 18 years old, then that's the time that your child, I mean your daughter or son, can decide for themselves whether they are a boy or a girl. So again, that's happening right now in our country. But we are trying to, of course, lobby and go against this. Queer is those people who are questioning. They tend to question, okay, whether they are really a boy or girl. So again, these are the things that is happening. These are not from the scripture. We have to go back to the scripture. We have to go back to the word of the Lord. We have to go back to what the word is saying. What is lost here is not, let me skip that already. Because I don't want to dwell on that. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. Okay, that is not right in the eyes of the Lord. For the young children, this is not right in the eyes of the Lord. We are called by the Lord to follow him. Okay, so this is not right. It is an abomination in Leviticus 18:22. Leviticus 20:13 says, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. It's a sin in the eyes of the Lord. That's found in the book of Leviticus. So we have to, again, draw the line that we are not meant for, female to female or male to male. Romans 8, 1:26-27, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. In verse 27, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, committing themselves shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. If I use the microphone as a hammer, and am I using this according to its invention? No. The purpose of the microphone is to amplify my voice. But for me to use it as a hammer, it will destroy this microphone. The same thing also with us. If you try to go against what God has created, then it will destroy us. It will even make us miserable. So that's why you have to follow the Lord with regards to his command. Remember, the Lord God designed marriage. It's not man who designed marriage. It's God who designed marriage. We have no right to, of course, redefine what God has defined already. So that's what should be clear. Genesis 2:24-25 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man, Genesis 2:25, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So again, it's a man and a woman. It's a husband and a wife. When God created Adam, he created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So, okay, let me end there, okay, my discussion on the LGBT thing. Now, let me just remind you of this, okay, before I focus on this. For the children, if you are a parent, always reassure your children, especially, you know, in their age, that they are handsome and they are beautiful. They are princess and they are king. In other words, at that age, you have to always reassure them that, you know, as a father and as a mother, you have to tell them that, you know what, you will be a godly man when the time comes. When the time comes, you will be a godly woman, that God will use you to influence your own generation, your own peers. And they have to be reassured with that. Because if they will not be reassured of that, then they will question their own gender. The point is that they will sometimes question, what am I? Am I really, you know, this or that? You have to, again, reassure them. And they need us to reassure them of their role, their gender roles as parents. There is a study that says at that particular age, as young as they are, if you will not form them in their particular gender, then what the people will actually form their own genders. Their friends, their peers, and the media will form their genders. Don't allow them. Let us always do our role as a parent to do that. Amen? So, question so far about that. I know, and understand this is already, you know, 15 minutes. Yes, sir.
I have a question about the email.
Sorry. Yes. 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 Yes.
What should I encourage them? Should I encourage them to become a male or female?
You're talking about what if, for example, you have are you referring to
inter?
Okay, inter. Yes. What they call it there's a term for that, the inter thing. Okay, so I don't want to mention that anymore. This is what the medical, what they are saying is that when they reach that particular age, then that's the time that you reassure them, you know, whether they are a male or female. But however, this is what I can see it. Okay, this is just my opinion. And again, you can base it from other studies as well. If they have no reproductive system, then they are a boy. If they have, then they are a girl. Now, there are cases wherein in medical, biologically, they have two reproductive systems outside, external. It is never inside, but it's external. So if it's an external, the question is it a boy or a girl? Then you check the internal reproductive system. Because if they have no, female reproductive system, then that simply means that they are a male. So you reassure them that they are a boy. So again, that's how I see it. Now again, you can check the studies and check whether, you know, the survey of this. But there was a case wherein they tried to dictate the gender of that person. And I have no idea what is the reproductive system of that particular boy. To the point that boy eventually wanted to become, of course, a girl. But however, in the end, he went back to becoming a boy because he has no reproductive system. So again, you have to, again, and be deliberate with that, because this is not something that, and I believe that the Lord did not make a mistake when God created us. God really designed us to be male and a female. So God did not make a mistake when you were born as a boy, and God did not make a mistake when, you know, you were born as a girl. You have a purpose, okay? You have a purpose, yeah. One more or two more. I know it, yeah, yes. At the back or here? Yeah, okay. Yes, sir.
Just got a question about childcare.
Yes.
So, for example, I think a lot of us parents here, we put our kids to childcare.
Yes.
If one of the carers is actually transgender, what sort of approach that we need to take? Are we supposed to take our kids out from their childcare?
Yeah.
If not, what sort of explanations that we need to give to our kids?
Yeah. Again, I don't understand your law here in Australia, but in the Philippines, we are free, of course, to choose the person that will take care of our children. Now, for us, we decided that the one who will take care of our children is not, of course, transgender or anything of that matter, because we understand that it's a spirit, and it's a spirit that could be translated or be transferred to our children. So we don't want that to happen. And we want, of course, our children to receive the right kind of spirit from the person, of course, that is taking care of them. And again, this is not to discriminate them, but it's really more of the faith. So we have to again draw the line. This is not about, you know, we love them as a person, but however, what we understand is that they lack the kind of spiritual maturity in order to take care of even, you know, in our children for that matter, because we are believers. And so we understand that this is not just about the things in this world or biological things in this world, but this is more of a spiritual thing as well. So homosexuality is not just, you know, because of the DNA or because they were just born in that way, but this is a spirit behind. There's a spirit behind this. So again, this is my conviction. I don't want to pass on my conviction on yours. So you have to learn to discern. So if you think that this will not harm or will harm your children in the future, then you go ahead and make a decision. Because, I mean, the consequence will of course follow afterwards. So we don't want that to happen to our children. So make sure that, you know, they are properly and well guided by people. And you trust, of course, you want to entrust your children to those people that you trust. Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay. You first. It's okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm saying this wrong, but I believe that believers agree that the church and the state should be separate, right?
Yes.
Then why do we demand that the government, and why are we against the government enforcing more liberal policies if it's in the interest of the majority? So, for example, like the majority agrees that homosexual marriage should be, same-sex marriage should be legal in Australia. Why are we so against it? I thought we were supposed to be different from the rest of the world, and you shouldn't just care about it, yes, just ignore that.
Well, the reason why, well, if that is already, let's say, the rule of the land, then you can't do anything about it, but to just follow, and at the same time, I would say that respect, okay, the government officials. But however, we have to learn just to draw the line, whether we, if this thing will affect us as believers. Because there are cases wherein if, let's say, the church official or the church minister will not officiate a wedding, if, let's say, a homosexual couple will come to a minister and will turn them down, then that minister will, of course, be imprisoned or will get the fine. So, again, that's where we have to be cautious. Because, they are already going overboard when they do that. So we don't want that to happen. So, but however, of course, even though the government already, let's say, passed that law, we can still speak out against, of course, same-sex marriage, because as a Christian, we have to be vocal about it. But we, of course, respect those people if they went through the same-sex wedding. We treat them as a person, but we are not, of course, to condemn them. But we can speak against the sin that they are doing. So I hope that, you know, with regards to state and church, yes, we abide with the law of the land, but however, I hope that we can still speak out against the sin of this world. So it is not about discrimination, but it's about our conviction as a believer. The problem is that if we become silent about it, So that's the problem.
Okay, yes,
one last.
I just want to ask, so for children, we should be careful about the carers. But I got friends in terms of discipling people. Should we still like treat them as the same when we try to reach others to spread the good news, or should we be worried that their spirit would be transferred to us when we're talking to them or something?
Okay, to what? To talking to
that community, because I got friends like that. And then I thought I could talk about Jesus to them, or should I be worried that they might transfer?
No. Don't get worried about it, because even Jesus Christ was in the bunch of, you know, the company of the sinners, but the spirit did not transfer to Jesus. Okay, so we can still do that, of course, because that depends on the maturity level of the Christian. I mean, I can be in a bunch of, let's say, that community. Okay, I'm referring to the community without me being influenced by what they're doing. So I can serve as a salt and light. But however, there are believers that are weak in their, of course, spiritual maturity level. So they are not that strong as we are. So if you believe that you can, and sometimes, you know, they have this kind of weakness in themselves, and that's why they cannot minister to this kind of people. We respect them, of course. But however, if you think that you can stand against, I would say that if you can really minister to them, then you go ahead and minister to them, because they need people who can minister to them as well. So if the Lord is calling you, to minister to them and to pray for them. And don't be afraid that, you know, their spirit will transfer to you. Because the Bible is very clear again in this area that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And I cannot, I believe that the word of the Lord is very strong in my heart. The same thing, of course, with you as well. If the word of the Lord is in your heart, then I'm sure that you can withstand anything in this world. So that's it. Yeah. Okay. So thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. I hope that you learned something. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Pastor. So yes, we're just going to thank you again for sharing your knowledge and your experience and teach us about how to read the Bible. Kids, are you guys reading the Bible every day? Yes? Yes? No? Who doesn't read the Bible? Okay, good. All right, everyone reads the Bible, okay? And get your parents together with your mom and dad to read the Bible together. Let's pray before...
Yes? Can I promote my website?
Yes, of course. So, okay. And you may be close in prayer as well.
Ah, yeah, okay, sure. So let me give you my website if you have some questions. So let me just... my Facebook name is Jun De Vierte. So you can type there, Jun De Vierte, and then this is my Facebook. And I have a lot of question and answer, okay, in that Facebook page. You can throw me some questions and let me answer them. Okay, so and if I think that your question can benefit a lot of people, then I will post it on my Facebook. So, and at the same time, I also have a JunDeVierte.com. So these are... I also entertained a number of questions that I made and created as an article. Why did God allow the evil spirit to influence Paul and a lot of stuff, okay? So there are Q&As as well in that particular website. So if you could also visit that, then it will benefit you as well. So let me pray for you, okay? So can we all stand up, okay, and pray? Lord, we thank you so much for the things that we have learned. And again, Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, that we can't know everything, but we believe that your Holy Spirit is the one who is going to guide us and lead us into all truth. Lord, I pray that you will equip your people. This world, Lord, needs Jesus Christ, especially, Lord, in Melbourne. I pray, God, that you will use them as a salt and a light. And I pray and ask, Lord, that you will also make them distinct, Lord, make them peculiar people, so that, Lord, they will stand out, Lord, among the rest of the people. Lord, I pray that you will give them wisdom and knowledge. If they don't know how to answer, Lord, I pray that you will give them and supply them, Lord, the answer that they need, Lord, at that very moment. And I pray even, Lord, that you will give them boldness and passion, Lord, to even disciple more people. I pray, God, that they will be bold, Lord, to reach out to the lost people. Lord, there is a reason why you have placed them in that particular workplace. There's a reason why you place them in that particular field, Lord. And that is, Lord, for them to treat that small, that field or workplace as a nation in order for them, Lord, to reach out, Lord, to the lost people in this world. Thank you so much, Lord, for equipping them. I believe that your Holy Spirit will continue to empower them and give them, Lord, that boldness and zealousness, Lord, to reach out, Lord, to the many people around them. Lord, protect their children. Protect them, Lord, from anything in this world. Protect them, Lord God, from the false values and the false principles of this world. And it is our prayer that they will be raised up, Lord, as men and women who fears you, men and women who will influence, Lord God, their own generation. Lord God, thank you for the parents. I pray, Lord, that you will also even give them wisdom on how to raise up, Lord God, the children as well. Lord God, we need your grace. We pray, Lord, that you will give us, Lord God, the patience, the self-control always, Lord, on how to raise up, Lord, the next generation. Thank you so much, Lord. May you bless, Lord God, each one, even as we depart. The glory, the honor, the praise is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
See you guys.